I think we should pray. We should be doing some praying here. Okay. Let's do the rebound thing. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide us as we continue our pursuit of truth. Lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there are a number of things to introduce. Verse 16, as we noted in closing last session, we have the negative may, which means do not. And that's followed by imperative mood number 9, the present passive imperative of the verb planao. And it means to be deceived. It's interesting that this is really quite a short verse. This command is made up of two words in the Greek. It's me planasti, and it means stop being deceived. And then the next few words have to do with those to whom he is addressing this imperative mood. So there are really only two operative words here. There are some things to be noted in the audience that he's addressing, so we'll get to that eventually. James, therefore, is not writing to heathen here. He's writing to believers who, without reliance upon divine guidance in their souls, are being deceived by temptations from the flesh. That's the context, obviously, is where we are. And the sin natures, au genre vocateur, that is the lust patterns, have tempted the soul's volition to allow sin access into the soul to establish a menage a trois. And that's where volition votes go astray. Now, Paul comments on this blasphemy about how to avoid its embarrassments. So let's take a quick look at 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. I'd like to go to the New American Standard. What you see in your notes is the expanded translation. I'd like to read it from the New American Standard and then go through the expanded translation with you, beginning at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Now, that can use a little updating and modernize some of this. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. We walk around in the flesh. Now, the writers of the New Testament used flesh a lot and to describe the sin nature, it and its lust patterns. And there's no question that we're in a body, and the body is fallen. It is corrupted by the sin nature in every cell. And because of that, we have a big problem, because the flesh is constantly desirous of getting control of the volition and having your free will make decisions in favor of what the flesh wants to do. And so Paul, for example, is using flesh here in denoting that the soul is in the body of corruption, but is independent of it. And so volition is the key here. There are a lot of things that occur in people's lives that are the, let's say, the primary result of poor decision-making. And then there are ramifications after that. So you have a circumstance, you make a decision, it's not a good one, but it's the primary decision. And then because that was not a good choice, there are going to be ramifications off of that. And then there are other decisions that can be made following the initial one to compound the problem. Also, it's possible to recognize the error and correcting that with your volition and then overcoming that by applying the Word of God. And so there's always these temptations here. You really don't get away from that. So we walk around in the flesh. We do not fight according to the flesh. Now, there's some fighting that goes on, motivated by the sin nature, for sure. But that is not being filled with the Holy Spirit and relying on the Word of God for guidance. See, the warfare we're in is mental. It is not physical. There are those who must fight physically, but if you're not either in the United States military, you're not in a police force or some other operation that upholds and guards the law, then you don't get to go and fight people. Now, on occasion, if somebody's trying to get into your house, you may have to do what you have to do. But I'm not aware of anybody that I've known in this congregation for 32 years has ever had that kind of circumstance arise. So it's extremely rare, at least in the part of town you live in. It's a daily activity north of Delmar. But nevertheless, you get the drill here. We are at war, okay? And we go to war every day. And the war has to do with a thought process. That's what the Bible is teaching. Think this way. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Think this way, and I'll take care of the details. You start thinking according to the flesh, you're outside the system. There are going to be some negative ramifications for that. So we're going to guide you, because bad decisions limit future options. So when these bad decisions are made, God is going to insert into the divine decree something to pull you back and rethink what you've been doing. And what you're doing originated with a thought. Now, there's such a loss of thought in our society today that it falls upon us who are serious about the study of the Word of God to continue to make good choices from the position of strength provided by the Word of God. In our city and counties, things are coming unwound. This is not unique, although it was the catalyst for it. I believe that the horror show that was fomented in Ferguson a couple of 3 years ago by the federal government has led to the chaos we're now seeing today, at least part of it. And so a lie was told. The lie has been upheld. It's turned into the truth as far as the dark side is concerned, and they've sold it. And so now we have the kinds of things that are going on in the streets of St. Louis and other cities around the country. You can't pour gasoline on a fire and not expect a big flame to emerge. We are not capable of doing anything about this overtly. What we have to do is mind our business, invest our decision-making in the Word of God, and Jesus Christ, who controls history, will take care of these details. There have been cycles of discipline to hit client nations throughout biblical history, which means human history. And nothing's new about what's going on here. We've seen it with the Jews on three occasions specifically. We've seen it in Western Europe over the centuries. We've seen that the thought emerging in the 1500s because of Martin Luther and others, that divine viewpoint began to be extracted from the Word of God, and the peoples of Western Europe, and including England, bought into that. And they established an environment and a society whereby people were reared, children were reared in a society in which they were taught these standards in the Word of God. And then it went from one generation to the other, and great prosperity emerged from that. In fact, documents of books have been written about how those who subscribe to the standards of the Word of God will ultimately have great prosperity. The prosperity begins in the soul, but because of good decision making, those decisions, therefore, breed future options so that there's an advantage that occurs throughout society. And that society is primarily free because the standards that are taught in the homes are those that maintain freedom in our society. And our Constitution hoped for that. And it's even cited in the opening paragraph. What we see going in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, is the invisible war. And if you learn how to fight the invisible war, then you are doing your duty, playing your part and what's going on in the visible war. We walk around in the flesh. We do not fight according to the flesh. See that? The weapons of our combat are not associated with the flesh, not human weaponry. They're authorized people to have human weapons. I've given you a couple of suggestions. But powerful through God for the destruction of cosmic fortifications. Okay, let's take a look at that. The weapons of our combat are not associated with the flesh. But powerful. The weapons of our combat are powerful through God for the destruction of cosmic fortifications. What are the cosmic fortifications? That would be the thought from the dark side. The Luciferian strategies. The things that are cooked up in the souls of men that they think are great ideas, but that is a rhetorical veil. The hidden agenda is they've got something on their mind to capture the thinking and the lives of the general public. Always look for this. There is a system that goes on. There's a rhetorical veil that conceals while it advances a hidden agenda. The rhetorical veil is what everybody's told and buy into it and think it sounds great, but there's something behind the screen there, and it's the hidden agenda. And what doctrine helps you do is figure out what the hidden agenda is. Verse 5, assaulting and demolishing propaganda and disinformation from the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. That's verse 5. Read it over here. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. All that's real good, but I want to put it in the vernacular that you're used to from studying exegetical passages. We exegete from the languages, Greek and Hebrew. And these boys that do the English translations do the best they can. They basically have to choose one word for every Greek or Hebrew word. If they exegeted every verse in the Bible, it'd be volumes of, say, 10 or 12 or 15 volumes. So verse 5 is advanced in this way because we can use more words. Assaulting and demolishing propaganda and disinformation. How do you do that? Because when you hear it, you know that it is propaganda and disinformation. How do you know that? Because the Bible trumps it. A lot of what's being said today is dark side propaganda. And you know this. How do you know it? Some of you have spent 32 years with me learning how to interpret what's going on in the devil's world. Now, where does that information, that propaganda and disinformation come from? What is its source? The Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. Okay, what is the academy? That's the schoolroom, okay? What's the schoolroom? The world. Cosmic didactics. Didactics has to do with teaching. Let's just net it out, teaching. But didactics has to do with starting with a premise and then working through it to conclusion. And the conclusions that are reached in our society today from the dark side are cosmic, which means they're things of the world. They're not things from the Word of God. But that is our enemy. And we have to learn not to be overwhelmed by the propaganda and the disinformation. People in our nation are being sucked in to all of this, what should we call it? Minutia. Because they don't have a defense department. They do not have the mentality from the Word of God to say, that is a dangerous thing to be thinking and doing. And you continue to do that, it's not going to play out well for you. But if more and more people buy into your idea, it's going to be really bad for a lot of folks. And the sad part about that is people making these kind of decisions are called politicians. Bringing into captivity every human viewpoint, system of thought to the authority of Christ. How do you do that? You learn the Word of God, you evaluate incoming data, and you say, this is from the dark side, this is from Luciferian strategy, this is wrong, and I cannot submit to that. Instead, I am calling information and data from the Word of God that informs me of this lie. and I will not be in any way misled by it. I reiterate, it's all about thought. You don't say anything not originating in thought. And you do not do anything that didn't originate with thought and commentary. How people think determines the environment in which they live. There are many environments in the St. Louis metropolitan area. Why are some environments better than others? Primarily because of the way people think in a given area. You do the math. What would happen if we could get divine thought infused into those areas? It'd take a while, but it would work. But the people have to be positive to that. I'm telling you, the church is all over the place here. I never seen anything like it. And I'm from the South. I came up here as a church every block. Big things. Brick mortar. Been there for decades and centuries even. Then there are others they build like arenas. Where's the thought? Why do we have such a multiplicity of ideas and thoughts in an environment of the St. Louis metropolitan area that has a church in every corner? Something not right about that. Assaulting and demolishing propaganda and disinformation from the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics that is raised up against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every human viewpoint system of thought to the authority of Christ, holding in readiness to punish all deviation from obedience to truth. Holding in readiness to punish all deviation from obedience to truth when your obedience to truth has been so advanced as to fully influence your soul. Where does all of this play out? It starts in the home. An inventory of ideas where children are given standards by which they must learn to adopt and then execute. Now, look, I've taught you that a person doesn't get his brain fully wired until around 25. So I'm just asking you the question. How intelligent are kids from, say, 0 to 15? Anyone? They have to be taught how to think. And the way that they're taught that is in a family. With a mama and a daddy who know standards and enforce them with the children. Here's the way we think, little Johnny. Why? You don't want to say because I said so. Now, there may come a time when you have to say that. You don't have time to teach class. But the standards need to be communicated consistently. Here's why we do this. Here's why we don't do that. If we do it this way, these things are liable to happen, and that won't be fun. If we do it this way, these things are liable to happen, and everybody's going to be happy. Do you want to be a happy little boy, little Johnny? Yes, sir. Well then, wonderful. Let's be thinking that way for a while. See how that plays out. Keep doing that. Keep feeding in establishment viewpoint. That's how you start. Feed in establishment. Mix into it concepts in the Word of God that are basic principles. In other words, there are things you can do and get along fine. Some things you can't do and won't go so well. You have to introduce the concept of imperative moods from time to time. In other words, do not do that, little Johnny. That's an imperative mood. And you know this, that imperative mood is the farthest mood from reality. And you can prove that with children. You will not do that, little Johnny. And then as soon as you're out of sight, he does exactly that. So, big deal on your imperative mood. Everything starts with thought. Let's look at the fifth columns. The believer's external enemy is from extrinsic fifth columns, but even more dangerous are the intrinsic fifth columns, resident in the flesh and the agent provocateur. Look at my boy here. See, he's got those red eyes. I'm wanting to look vicious, and he's got that smirk on his face. Why? Because there are fifth column infiltrations that he's giving an ear to, and he's looking over that way. The fifth column, this is extrinsic, outside the body. The fifth column infiltrates from outside the body through doctrines of demons. That's Paul's term in 1 Timothy. What are doctrines of demons? First of all, human viewpoint. That's everywhere today. People come up with their idea. They think it's golden, and everybody's supposed to go with it. There's human viewpoint. That leads to human good. A human good is where you try to get other people to be involved in your stupid idea. And then if not enough people are going along, then you petition the government to make it a law. So everybody has to do it, whether they want to or not. That's called evil. This is from cosmic philosophies and strategies, progressive ideology, globalism. The Bible is totally against globalism. Why? Look, you can talk about a multifaceted, generational, et cetera, society. But whenever people move into an area, they carve off pieces of real estate for themselves. When I moved here, I did not know there was a Jewish area. That's Ladue. I did not know there was an Italian area. That's called the Hill. I did not know it was a this and such area, and that's over yonder. Your breed of cat decided where you were going to live. So where's all this getting along? I'll tell you how you get along. You come into a country, it's fine wherever you live if you want to do that. That's what's so great about it. But amalgamation is the issue. And so when someone comes into the country, they need to amalgamate to the standards that provide freedom for all of the inhabitants that are here. And when that is established, then when you leave your neighborhood, you can get along with everyone else regardless of who they are because you've bought into the standards that society upholds. When you start tearing down those general standards where people section themselves off and claim that they have the way that they want to think and everybody else can go to hell in a handbasket, then they begin to war with each other. There are standards that need to be presented in a society beginning with children on up. This is how we think. This is how we behave. This is how we operate in our society. Now you can go to whatever church, synagogue, or mosque you want to. You can do that. But generally in the society, everybody subscribes to these standards here. And therefore you can have a conversation with anybody. You can respect everybody's position, their faith, et cetera, but these are the standards everybody signed on to. Now there's a chipping away of that idea now so that we section ourselves off. We're balkanizing. And the people that are balkanized want to have it their way where the people on the other side of the balkanization want it their way. And before you know it, buildings are burning. Globalism. Categories of sins that deconstruct the culture of the client nation. How about the intrinsic fifth column? Agent provocateur from the lust pattern penetrate the soul, giving the sinful nature control over thought, decision, and action. That's your volition doing that. So the old sin nature is down in the body, the flesh, as Paul puts it, and that's a fifth column inside the body. Thus the command of verse 16, do not be deceived, is the present passive imperative of the verb planao, to be deceived. The present tense is progressive, denoting that which has begun in the past and continues to the present. In other words, it's an ongoing verbal structure. Not just right now, but now on, forever. What is going on here? You are continuously being deceived because of the loss of thought, or you forgot the thought. The passive voice indicates that the beloved brethren are receiving the action of deception from extrinsic fifth columns. which their resident inventory of doctrine is unable to withstand or overcome. Now, that's what happens to a new believer. Yes, they're saved. They know that they've been delivered from the lake of fire, and they have eternal life. That's John 3:16. What else do they know? What else could they know? They knew nothing until someone gave them the gospel, used John 3:16 to tell them how to get saved, faith alone in Christ alone. And when they say, oh, I believe that. Okay, what else do they know? But they can't know anything else. That's all they've ever heard of a spiritual nature. So they've got to, what is it Billy Graham used to do? Billy's out of business now, but his son is in business, but not in the same way his father was. His father would go all over this country into stadia, far and wide, and draw 70, 80,000 people. Okay, if they got, you know, all those people that would come down to the rostrum at the end, they had, as far as they were concerned, that they had had a wonderful response to the gospel if 5% of those people showed up and professed a profession of faith. 5%. Now, let's say it was in Bryant-Denny. That's 100,000 people. 5% show up. That's a pretty good number. 5%. A lot of cards to fill out. But what is it, though, that they would tell those people, such as I was one of those people on one occasion, what is it you're told? Make sure they understand the gospel, that they didn't misunderstand it in some way. And then give them a card with some basic information on it. And down at the bottom it says, now you need to discover a church that you can attend consistently. He never told them what church, just recommended highly that they find one and start matriculating there. So they could do what? So they could get past the gospel and start learning the doctrines of the Word of God. Build an inventory. Get to thinking biblical stuff rather than the world stuff. It's a process. And so we have the passive voice indicates that beloved brethren are receiving the action of deception from extrinsic fifth columns, which their resident inventory of doctrine is unable to withstand or overcome. They have a weak volition. It doesn't know how to fight the battle of the invisible war. The verb planao is the ninth imperative mood of the book. Those who are not to be deceived are believers who have eternal life and they cannot lose it. If something is eternal, it can't be anything else. And you can't lose something that's eternal. And by the way, it was a gift. And God ain't taking back the gift. However, many of those James addresses face tests of their own making. When confronted with the result, they complain, why did God let this happen to me? Why did God let this happen to me? Okay, you can tell that spiritually speaking, they are ignorant of many doctrines. One being the divine decree. Well, the point is God had nothing to do with it. You got free will. You make your own choices. You got to live with those. God created man with a soul. He imputed a human spirit at the moment of salvation. Man is enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to acquire divine guidance to resolve problems. You are your own decision-making machine. Don't go pointing your finger at anybody else. There are circumstances when other people intervene in your life, make decisions that cause you situations that you have to deal with, either positive or negative. You have influence from people. You have a great faculty at your school, and they have influenced you in a positive way. You have a lousy faculty at your school, and they influence you in a very negative way. Put that anywhere you want to put it. My daddy committed 3 murders and is in jail for selling drugs on the open market. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't have a daddy, so meh. You are a decision-making machine. Mr. Watson has all kinds of people that he runs into in what he does as an evangelist who've had really bad backgrounds. That's why they're in prison. But when Mr. Watson went into these places originally, he had some respond to the invitation. And he tells me at the get-go, you don't know if they just want to go somewhere just to get out of the cell for a while, or if they're serious about the Word of God. He shakes that down pretty quickly. And there are people who have had horrible experiences in their lives from childhood, from parents and others. But what is it that can take that horrible beginning and suppress that as a dominant excuse-making machine? The Word of God is alive and powerful. He starts teaching the Word of God. They buy into that. They find out God loves them. God is going to take care of them, and God will teach them how to orient and adjust to a new way of thinking. And all of the hundreds of people that Gary has taught over the years in these prisons, and he has many prisons either he goes to personally, or we send information from this church, and they are, guided by him in several different ways. Of all of the people that have been released from prison over, say, is it about 10 years, Gary? About 10 years. One of the biggest problems in our penal system is recidivism. In other words, they're released from prison, and after a while, they do something else, and they're sent back. And the percentage is quite high, as I understand it. 65% go back within 3 years or less. Now, of all of the hundreds he's taught, how many, after they've been released, have done something to put them back in jail? I understand it's 4. The Word of God is alive and powerful. If you take the Word of God into your soul and you retain it and you embellish that with consistent study, it will change the way you think, it will change your life, and it will give you a freedom you've never known. Believers who do not take advantage of the power of the Spirit and the Word will make poor choices, and many of them are made because of the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is fallen. Lucifer's run it since Adam and Eve ate the banana. He's run this show. We'll run it until the second advent of Christ. You are not wanted here. So, if things are really weird, as things are weird in our client nation today, and you think, this is just horrible, this has never happened before, we won't get to it today. But over here, we're going to talk about, who is that man? That guy there, Shalmaneser. You remember him? Shalmaneser. What we're going to talk about is 5th cycles of discipline to the Jews. Loss of thought led to that. No nation ever, in past history or future history or presently functioning, no nation ever has had as much divine protection as the Jews. And they continued to be protected until they lost the thought. And when they lost the thought, heathen armies would come in. The Assyrians, the Chaldeans, and others would capture them, burn their cities, take hostages back home, create a diaspora, execute others. What we're going to learn from what happened about 20-something, over 2,000 years ago, I forget the math, forgive me, over 2,000-plus years ago, 2,740, that's it. Things that happened 2,740 years ago to the Jews is happening to the United States of America today. The Word of God is alive and powerful. You can go to the Word of God and see what happened to those Jews that the Assyrians, under Shalmaneser and Sargon, they came into town and took them down. And then when they left them in smoke and ruins, what did they do then? They made sure they could not rise up again. And we are doing the very same thing today in client nation America. And you can go to the Bible and see exactly what happened to the Jews, God's chosen people. Why did God let this happen to me? because you lost the thought. Believers who do not take advantage of the power of the Spirit and the Word will make poor choices, and many of them are made because of the influence of the world, the flesh, that's your sin nature, and the devil. There is an evil that meanders through Cosmos Diabolicus, the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. There are a lot of professors out there today who are tenured. Listen to this verse. 1 John 2:15 and 16. Do not love the world nor the things of it. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Lucifer is the ruler of this world. Those who love the world are vulnerable to the things in the world, a danger overcome by the believer who is not of this world. Let's take a look in closing at John 15:19. If you were from the world, second class condition, you are not now, but you once were. we're all born into the world as a baby. You got to get out of the world and into God's plan to get out of the world. Okay, follow this. If you were from the world, second class condition, you are not now, but you once were. The world would keep on having love for its own. Okay. Unbelievers are in the world, and the world loves them. They get a lot of stuff, but it's not permanent, and sometimes it's not helpful. But, big fat juicy but here, but I have chosen you, aorist, middle, indicative, the verb eklego, that is the base word for the doctrine of election. See if I've got a diagram for that. Oh, I do. Look at this. Election, decreed, revealed, imputed. This is the system by which you have election. First of all, in eternity past, election was decreed in Ephesians 1:4. It was decreed then, and it was in the divine decree. How can it be in the divine decree? Because God knows everything that is knowable, past, present, and future. He's not limited by tenses. Eternity past, election was decreed. Ephesians 1:4. The incarnation, election is revealed. That's 2 Timothy 1:9 and 10. 1:9 and 10. And in the church age, positive volition to the gospel of Jesus Christ, election is then imputed. 2 Peter 1 verses 10 and 11. Now, election is not always used in English translations. Some translations use the words to call or to choose, and therefore you have a system of election. So you have to know what the root words are. Ekleko. Okay, I'll read the verse again and we'll take time off until Wednesday. If you were from the world would keep on having love for its own. But I have chosen you, I have elected you, out of the world. Because of this, the world keeps on hating you. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. I am weak, but he is strong. Amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word today. We pray the Holy Spirit would enlighten us regarding things we've studied. We lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Kare en kai rene, plethun thai en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuru himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.